Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, friends. Auntie Fanula here. I really hope you enjoyed this episode with the guys from Experience Share. It's a really good chat, and obviously something that I am hugely obsessed with. Just a note to say that because we were recording this transatlantically, and over the internet, there is a change in audio about halfway through with Josh's audio. So still very listenable, but won't be as clear, just if you are wondering or curious. And just to preface the episode with that, as I said, totally listenable, would absolutely encourage you to listen to this because they are hilarious. Please enjoy. To Bandwagons. I am flying solo this episode. Breed had very valiantly stepped aside because I basically just wouldn't shut up about this episode and having these guys on and talking about a subject that is so dear to my heart. I'm delighted to have the guys from Experience Share Pokemon Podcast on with us today to talk about Pokemon. Josh Fjellstad, Tanner Greenring, thank you so much for joining me from across the pond.
Thank you. Hello. For having us.
Thank you for having us.
How has your weekend been so far?
My weekend's been great. I live in Connecticut in the United States, and it's fall, which is prime leaf peeping season. So the trees are all turning orange and red, and it's beautiful up here. I have a weird question.
Okay.
I'm not
just starting out of the gate with that.
I'm not an uncultured man.
Okay.
I've been sure. All around the world. I've been to Ireland several times.
Okay.
Do the leaves turn colors in Ireland?
Yes. Okay. Yes, they do. They turn brown. Except the ones that stay green, they stay green. Evergreen.
Yeah.
But they don't turn like orange and yellow and red and beautiful.
Yeah, they do. But like, weird question for you. What the fuck is leaf peeping? What are you talking about?
it's a thing that happens in the Northeast here in the United States, just north of New York in New England. Where I live now, it's every fall there's a tourist tradition where everyone drives up to Connecticut or Massachusetts or Maine, and they look at all the leaves turning colors.
In Vermont,
and it's called leaf peeping. In Vermont, yeah.
Okay, interesting. That sounds like a nice old something to do. In fairness, I feel bad now. I feel like I was immediately on the offensive, and it was.
Well, no, and I came at you. Questions about...
And my whole country criticizing my trees, but the trees do turn colors. We're in that midst of the season changing and the weather is very crisp and it's getting very cold, but we're, as Irish people do, trying to get the last out of those summer days. So in for a swim this evening. And it wasn't particularly warm, but it was particularly nice.
Do you swim in... Like, do you mean like in a pool? Or are you talking
in the
pond?
Sea.
You're in the Irish
in the
Sea?
Ocean. Yeah.
The Atlantic?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. What a time. Sea swimming is a big
bandwagon over here. Huge bandwagon over here. Like, enormous.
Josh, you live pretty close to the Atlantic. You and Fionnuala could go get in the Atlantic together. Like,
yeah.
What's the Fievel movie called?
Fievel Goes West.
But the first one.
Oh,
where they're, when he and his sister are looking at the moon together and singing about how they're both looking at the moon together. You guys could get in the sea together, and it's like we're swimming together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
well,
fair.
We could do that later if you want to take another dip. I'll have to.
Yeah. Let's
hoof it over the East River. Everyone loves jumping in there, living or dead.
Josh, how was your weekend? You got away recently. You were saying you got out of New York and did your bits.
Yeah.
Away for the first time, that pesky COVID getting in the way of everyone.
I threw the Vermont hat tip into Tanner's monologue there because I went to Vermont. We weren't specifically going there to look at the leaves change, but that is one of the things that people will always remark to you about, like the water cooler chats back when you could have those, where it's like, oh, like, you going up there to check out those leaves change? It's like, you know, it's the same every year. We've seen leaves
change
before.
We've seen it.
I went up there with a few friends. We all quarantined for 2 weeks, and then we got a house out in the middle of the woods and hot tubbed, sauna'd.
Oh man.
Hung out by the fire pit and just drank and pontificated. It was very fun.
What a time. Okay, so we're here to talk about Pokemon, as I said. My love, my light, my passion, live, laugh, love. What was your first interaction with the franchise, if you can remember?
I think for me, it was originally Pokemon Blue. I wanted to be a video gamer, and my parents originally would not let me get a console because they thought it would rot my brain or, you know, cause violence or whatever everyone, parents in the 90s thought. And Game Boy was a loophole. They didn't really figure out that that was also video games.
They thought it was like a calculator.
Yeah.
You convince them, you're like, oh, it's a TI-83. I need it for school.
Exactly. And they, you know, you could still be out and engaging with the family if you're on a Game Boy, I think is what the running theory was, rather than immersed in a NES or Super NES or whatever. So that was my first. I played console games at friends' houses, but originally all I could do was Pokemon Blue, basically.
Did your parents ever threaten you with Nintendo Thumb? Was that ever something that was, like, my mom went, like, because I got into it for my brother, and we had, like, the original, the Game Boy Color. And, like, you, as you said, you'd be on it for hours. And my mom would be like, no, you need to stop now, because if you play it for so long, like, you won't be able to use your thumbs properly. I read it on the news, Nintendo Thumb. And then I absolutely don't think it is true, but I mean, I'm two working hands here, like, so. But yeah, that was a threat that regularly came out in the Jones household if we were flat out trying to catch them all. Yeah,
that's a good one. I hadn't heard of that. I mean, I guess what I'm familiar with is, like, do you remember when Mario Party came out, the original one, or like Mario Party 2, maybe?
For N64, I think.
Yeah, that was a big threat in the United States, where it had like a mini game that I think was a fishing one, and you would have to go like this around the joystick.
The like joystick, you'd have to put
like
the
move in a circle
with against it.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was like the thing on the PlayStation. Did you have the iToy, and it was like the first like camera and it was like for PlayStation, and they had a game that it was fully like you just cleaned windows, but you just went up to the camera and you were like and we were like, yes, this is cutting edge entertainment, wow, never seen the likes of it.
It's like that, except you had a joystick in your hand, and the thing is, you would rub the joystick so hard on the N64 controller that you would like wear a hole through your skin.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah, like, it was like always on the nightly news.
Nintendo Thumb.
Oh
yeah,
God.
Exactly.
Tanner, what was yours? Your first memory of the Mon?
I'm older than Josh and much older than you. I'm 36.
Some would say wiser.
So I was like fully like 14 when Pokemon made it to the United States, and I dabbled in it then. I played Pokemon Blue and watched a little bit of the anime, but very quickly became like a teenager and lost interest because I formed interest in new things like fantasy novels. So that was my interest, and that was kind of the premise of our show, Experience Share, was that Josh is the Pokemaniac who has played every single game and grew up with them, and I was sort of the newcomer to the series who had just kind of dabbled a little bit at the very beginning, but then am now
right.
revisiting it as an adult man and playing through all the games. So
that's like Breed with me. Breed watched the anime a bit when it was on over here, and Breed has had to listen to me like agonize over, like last Christmas I was like, I'm getting a Switch, it's so much money, I don't care, like I'm gonna get it, I'm gonna get it this week, I need the new Pokemon, and she was like, just get it. Oh, yeah. Just, I don't care, why do you keep saying, regaling this to me, it's not interesting, just buy it, I do not care. Yeah, the thing about the anime, like, I did mention this on another podcast before, but my first interaction with it, as I said, my brother was really into it, and kind of same as you, Tanner, like, fell out of it and just wasn't really interested in it anymore. But my first interaction was we had Pokemon Red, and he got all the way to the Pokemon League, and 4 or 5 year old Fanula was like, let's play this lovely console, and erased his game, and he brings it up very, 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 very regularly that I did that. And
it's not that long of a game. He could have just it's also fun.
Yeah.
If he loves it.
I mean, you try saying that to a 10-year-old who already hates their fucking younger sister for just not leaving them alone. And I was like just obsessed with him and just being like, I just want to do everything you're doing. I want a Charizard. And he was just like, I was there and you took it from my hands. But anyway, we have mildly gotten over it. I've gotten over it. He hasn't. But anyway, the anime as well.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's just a lack of dedication to the cause. In our first season, actually, I whether it was my fault or not, I'm not going to say. But I did drop my Game Boy at one point, and I lost, I think, like 27 hours of gameplay. We've both
lost quite a bit
and,
of gameplay.
And I had to spend, it was right before I was going on a trip to visit one of my good friends, and I had to just be like, listen, man, like, I'm going to be playing Pokemon this entire time, and I don't care about, like, seeing Denver or doing anything other than Pokemon. And I powered through it.
yeah
gotta do what you gotta do.
Such dedicated podcasters, so dedicated.
You talked about how expensive it was buying a Switch for Pokemon Sword and Shield, the new game, but I didn't realize when Josh convinced me to do this podcast how expensive it was going to be to buy 30-year-old consoles and game cartridges. Like, that's the conversation my wife and I always have. It's like, sorry, I have to spend $100 on Pokemon XD Gale of Shadows on eBay.
You're going to have to carve out some Pokemon budget GameCube from the game. Monthly finances. Yeah.
I love how that Tanner, I can just see Tanner's wife just at the table being like, okay, it's groceries this week or game. Like, and I mean,
it's like that. It's like that.
My family is dying.
Where it's like,
please help me budget this.
$20 on electricity, $30 on internet, $2,500 on Pokemon games and consoles. Please help.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, I was, when he asked me to come on and we did, what game did we,
Ruby and Sapphire.
Why is
and
my
Emerald.
Brain? Ruby and Sapphire, exactly that. And I was saying to my mom, I was like, you need to mail me the console and the game now. And she was like, Jesus, lockdown is really getting to your brain. Like, are you okay? I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, these podcasters, and they want me to do it. Even I said it to her. I was on the phone actually before I came into the house, and she was like, oh, best of luck with the Pikachu now. That's all she knows. Like, she's just like, good job. I was like, ma'am, I'm not talking to, I'm talking to two grown men. I'm not talking
mom.
To a sentient cartoon character, but thanks. It's the support. It's all that matters.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
don't think my parents know that I have a Pokemon.
I don't think
podcast.
They've ever even understood what my job is, or like only recently have grasped what podcasts are. The leap to go to a Pokemon podcast that I just like do for fun,
yeah,
is too much. It's better to just leave them in the dark.
Fair. Sometimes those conversations are
exactly
best not had, to be honest. Best not had. Why do you think the franchise is still so popular in 2020, all these years after the games and like every fucking TV show and card iteration? Like, you still had people absolutely like me banging down the door being like, I need Sword or I will pass away. Like, what is it about it, do you think?
I think
the games are very easy. Well, I think you can get what you want out of the games. So like, if you're a young person who doesn't play video games very well, you can sort of like skate by and get through the game fairly easily and feel a sense of accomplishment. And if you're an older person like us, you can like really dive in deep and do the weird challenges like Nuzlocke runs and collect all the Pokemon and do all the side quests and mini games in the game and like feel the sense of nostalgia around everything. And I just feel like it rises to the occasion, like no matter who you are. So it's constantly inviting new players in, but also like catering to the old players as well.
Yeah,
which is a good formula they've tapped into.
It's got this great like snowball effect where anyone who's played it since the beginning, or I mean whenever you step into it, the mechanics basically don't change, and the main conceit is just like, oh, I want to see like what are these. I think there's like an innate appeal about collecting things, especially like shiny objects and like these cooler, rarer, more exotic Pokemon. And so if you played it at all, then you understand the formula, and then you're like, oh, like here's this new game. They're always relatively, you can just play it on the couch. And like, I feel like it fits really well with the current mentality of kind of like you're binging a show or whatever, and then you could be tweeting, or you could also just be playing a Pokemon game, and you're always going to be able to jump into any of them regardless of if it's 25 years ago or today, and you know how to play it, and then it's just like it looks better or worse. Basically,
you just described every single night of my wife and mine's quiet suburban life. Like,
oh, I mean,
it's putting TV on and I'm playing Pokemon and she's tweeting, and then we go to bed and that's it.
It's very similar to my household with my husband as well. Yeah.
Happiness. I think that's why I liked it so much as well, though, because like it's very hard to be bad at Pokemon, and I'm like, I'm not generally good at games as much as I like them. I'm very like an Animal Crossing gal, like even like Mario Kart, like I'm really not good at. And I discovered this over lockdown and got really angry and was like Googling how to be better at Mario Kart. And that genuinely the first result was try and come first. And I was like, I know. This is why I'm here, for help. I can't get there.
That's what I was doing wrong.
Thanks, Google, you fucking. Anyway, but with Pokemon, it's just like, but again, I also love the whole thing of trying to catch them all and have them. And also There was the sad element to me of that was like, oh my God, these are my friends, and they love me and I love them, and they go and do what I want and we go on this mad journey together. How heartwarming and twee. I just loved that. Like, and like some of them are just absolutely so cute.
Oh yeah. Like,
yeah. There are some real little cuties. And we have a segment on our show called Joshy's Sweeties.
My Sweeties.
Where each week Josh picks a Pokemon that he just thinks is cute or nice.
Yeah.
And which it's really opened my eyes up to how many cute, sweet Pokemon.
Because they can be admirable as well. It's not just like, you know, a Jigglypuff or a Pikachu. It's not the very obvious thing. Like, it is commonly the just pure sweeties. Yeah. But it can also be this Pokemon's admirable and has other qualities that make it a sweetie, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Respect. Respete.
Right, well then, put you on the spot here. Who's the ultimate sweetie? You have to pick one. All the rest of them, one. Oh. King of the Sweeties. Who is it?
Man. I mean, my favorite Pokemon is not a Sweetie, no matter how you spin it. But I would say, which is Mewtwo.
Your favorite Pokemon is Mewtwo, yeah. It's so gross. No.
I think of Sweeties, I'm pretty predisposed to, like, a classic, like, Growlithe, I think, is pretty nice.
Yeah, very gorgeous.
Can't really go wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly,
it's a cute little tiger fire pup.
Yeah.
What more could you want?
It's right in the name. I mean, it's in the Pokedex entry. It's like the fire puppy. That's cute. Yeah. Like on its face. And then you get a look at it and it's like this little rascally little puppy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also like a really banging Pokemon too, yeah, which is great. Arcanine. Yeah. It's evolved.
Yeah. Mine is probably Chikorita. Because I think I've said this before, but... Oh, don't you! Okay, like, sorry, Chikorita is...
Is Chikorita... Which one's Chikorita?
See, you don't even know who
it turns into
Chikorita
bay leaf?
Is. Yes, yeah, it turns into bay leaf, yeah.
Okay, that one's fine. I thought it was the one that turns into Combusken.
Oh, you were thinking of Torchic. Torchic's trash.
No. Bin.
Yeah, Chikorita's good.
Chikorita's definitely a Sweetie.
Very cute. Extremely cute. Very good
the
line.
The one little leaf...
Yeah,
and it kind
like
of has
little,
like a necklace.
The little like pearl necklace with seeds. Chef's kiss.
Yeah. You love a Pokemon that has little balls embedded into it.
That's true. I won't take the slander on my own podcast.
You've been on our show
podcast
twice now, and you always have Pokemon with little balls embedded into it.
What were the other ones that I picked on yours that had balls?
Sceptile.
Sceptile is gorgeous.
It is a sleek look, but it does have those balls on its back for some reason.
So does Chikorita.
What is it with the Pokemon Company's obsession with testicular objects? Have we gotten to the bottom of that? Like that, I feel like that's the work you should be doing, and I think we're there
Freud
yet.
We do consider ourselves
ago
journalists, Pokemon journalists, and we should get to the bottom of that.
Yeah, yeah.
We had an extended segment about Voltorb and Electrode recently, which are, you know, they're definitely just balls, and whether it's a Pokeball or a testicle, it's the same.
I think if there's any piece of feedback we've gotten and heard from our listeners, it's that they want to hear less about Pokemon genitals.
Yeah, we've been trying to tone it down, but it's not our thing. It's just we're reporting on what we see, and a lot of people do it, and they're into it.
Yeah, so tell me more about that, because I feel like many Bandwagons listeners won't be familiar with the website Fair Affinity, but I mean, we're here. Yeah. We've opened that can of worms, so...
I wasn't
Tanner will take that one.
Before I started this podcast with Josh, I wasn't familiar with Fair Affinity either.
Okay, but, whatever you say.
There's a vibrant and active fan art community for the Pokemon games, where people like to see Pokemon doing
fornication. That's what they want to see
with other Pokemon or with humans.
Oh, really? Whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. And oftentimes, a lot of the sort of more interesting kinks get involved, like inflation fetish or
vore.
Or like a lot of feet stuff. So we have a segment on the show where we explore this sort of vibrant community. And we'll kind of go to furaffinity.net and we'll look at some of the art and we'll discuss it and we're kind of art critics in that way.
I was just about to say, wow, what an appreciation for art you guys have.
Yeah. So that's pretty fun, and it made my Google ad results a lot more interesting than I think they would have been.
Do you have a lot of like Sophia's in your area, and they're are you free tonight? I have some nice pictures I want to send to you. Is it that kind of Google ads or
it's like Combuskins, and they're showing me their feet and they're like,
yeah, like gym leader Whitney is home alone tonight.
Oh my god, yeah, bad times. You also have a segment about Pokemon that are disgusting, because there are many of them. That's Tanner's ooh, make me barf. So I'll put the question to you, Tanner. Which Pokemon makes you want to puke all over yourself the most?
Oh, wow. It's such a difficult, it's such a nuanced answer that I have to give, because there are Pokemon who have been mentioned so many times, like Zubat, who's that awful little bat Gloom. That you catch in caves. But I think the problem with Zubat is he's just so, like, he's just everywhere, and that is what it makes him annoying.
Right.
But truly the grossest Pokemon in all of Pokemon is a Pokemon called Gloom.
Yeah. That's what I figured you'd say.
Middle evolution of what
Vileplume
is the little
and Oddish.
Oddish and Vileplume, and he's got a drippy little mouth, and there's some kind of fluid dripping out of its mouth, and it is gross to think about, and it's gross to look at, and it's gross to consider in any kind of way.
Yeah. And I like that line. I think Vileplume is really powerful of this show, and we're in the middle of the third season now. Tanner's convinced me, because now I look at the Pokedex entries and I'll really examine the sprites up close for Gloom. And in Ruby and Sapphire, the Pokedex entry specifies that Gloom not only smells wretched, but that it loves the horrid stench that it generates. So it's like getting off on its own grotesquerie.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So Gloom is bad.
And they've had 7, 8, 9 generations, Josh?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Eight.
To fix his gloopy mouth.
No, they
double
down.
They're just like, nope, he's got a gloopy little mouth.
Yeah. No, they love
it, so
I think.
Gross.
Pokemon Company are like, yes. Slobber all over yourself, you disgusting thing. They love it.
Yeah.
They love it. Oh, it's mad to think that there are just 8 generations. Like,
insane.
Because, like, I played up and when did I kind of drop out? Like, Black and White, but I would Black and White, but I would struggle to remember anything really about those games. And then didn't a funny story though, I bought actually myself and my friend Kerry, who's also a big fan of yours, we bought at the start of lockdown, we were like, oh, I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna get a 3DS and let's both play X and Y, and we can both have that experience of like trading all the Pokemon and we'll complete the Pokedex and it'll, what a buzz, blah, 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 whatever. And I would say I played it 3 times. Got a 3DS and got X, and I was like, I fucking hate this, because it's like a French region, because obviously they mix all the Pokemon regions and like real life places, and it was like French and it was not. I was, and we joke about it all the time. We were like,
that was
on
your issue with it, was that it took place in a France
well
region?
I mean,
I didn't love it either.
It didn't help
Yeah,
you know what, it was a lot of wee wee ha ha, and I was like, I'm out, I'm done.
All the Pokemon just lose battles by default, you know.
Yeah, anyway, still have no idea about that region. And then obviously I did buy Sword and Shield, so I know that. But like, there's just a load of Pokemon in the middle where I'm like, who the fuck are you? Like, what are you? And like, you've talked about it on your podcast about how, like, there definitely seems to be a thing of them potentially running out of ideas, because you have Pokemon that are just quite literally like bags of rubbish and ice cream.
Keys.
And
Cogs
and gears and keys and apples. And I'm like, at what point is there going to be a point where you think they'll stop making the games because of that or another reason? Or are we just in this forever? Am I going to be talking to my children and they're going to be like, look, mom, here's a fucking wheel Pokemon. I love this. And I'm going to be like, I hate you and I regret having you.
When I was a kid, Pokemon were dragons. Not wheels.
You didn't know how good you had it.
I feel like it will keep going just based on the fact that you can't really run out of things. We actually talked about this recently because we were like, and speaking of Fanula, because I know you love Tropius, we were talking about Tropius because it's got like a banana-like fruit on its neck, but they don't call it bananas. And then we were like, how's there no... Tanner especially was fired up. There's no peanut Pokemon. There's a bunch of like
peanut
things you can find in nature that they still haven't spoofed. And so like they
fruits, nuts, vegetables. Yeah. There's so few food Pokemon.
They skipped.
Yeah. There's no peanut Pokemon.
It's crazy. They skipped all these like household objects before they even finished with like the all the flora and fauna. So,
and we know that they know peanuts exist because we played a terrible game called Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, and there was a an area in Pokemon Mystery Dungeon called Peanut Swamp.
Right.
So it's like, you guys know what peanuts are.
Peanuts are
canon. Give us
canon.
A peanut Pokemon.
So give us the peanut Pokemon. That's what we
canon.
Want.
Oh my God.
That's what the people want.
That's what we want. Is this is where it starts. This is where the campaign starts. Give us peanut
revolution.
Pokemon or give us death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The anime, right? I don't know about you, but I went back not that recently, but recently enough and like watched, because obviously the anime follows like Ash and Misty and Brock, and Ash goes off and he's 10 years
right.
old and he is Pikachu and he's like, I'm going to catch them all and be the greatest no one ever was, blah, blah, blah. And that's the story. And I remember watching it and being like, wow, love them. Look at these gutsy kids. I wish I was them. I wish I could be like, fuck you, mom. I would never say that to my mom, just in case she's listening. I love her so much.
Hello, Mrs. Jones.
Hello, Calista. I loved it. And I watched it again, kind of maybe up until like the Ruby one. I don't know. But like also the station over here stopped showing it. So you couldn't get it unless via illegal means.
You didn't miss anything.
Fair. Because I was just about to say, like, when you look back, Ash is an absolute dog shit trainer. Like, only
trash.
One. He's 20 years at it, and last year he won the Pokemon League. Like, I mean, and that's your protagonist?
As a kid, I mean, I feel like I wasn't alone. Even as a kid, I was like, this guy, Ash, this is a joke. Like, he doesn't evolve all his Pokemon. He keeps them in their baby forms because, like, that's what they want or whatever with Pikachu.
He only has, like, five of them.
Yeah, he barely ever catches Pokemon. I mean, given I fall.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Blow the trades about what's going on and so now, but like I stopped watching it in earnest. I probably watched, I don't know, like five
they
seasons
talk about
or something.
The they talk about Pokemon and The Economist.
Yeah,
is
yeah.
that what you mean?
Oh, I have to. It's very crucial to the world economy. It was always like, what's this guy doing? He's a joke. Like, the only league he ever won, I think, until this one that he just got, which is an actual league championship, was like on the Orange Islands, which is, I think, roughly the Sevii Islands, which are in Fire Red Leaf Green, which is what we're playing right now. But that's barely even a real...
Josh, two inside baseball.
Yeah, that. Sorry, I went too far there. But he's never won a real thing. And every good Pokemon he gets, like he had a Charizard, he lets it go. Like, it's crazy. Ash is a joke.
Can we not talk about that Charizard episode? Because that is, there are a lot of so many emotions.
Wait, he let that Charizard go?
Yeah
it was, oh God, it was a whole thing. Man,
that was when I drew the line as a kid. I was like, no, this guy, no way.
You have this absolute, like, like monster unit of a Pokemon. Like,
yeah.
You'd have no... You'd Pokemon League cakewalk. You've Charizard. And he's just like, bye. Because it fucking... What? It found, like, a girlfriend or something, wasn't it? Or it was one of those things, again, where it was like, I need to be back with, like, my... Well, now, obviously, they can't speak, like, but, like, through Charizard noises, he was like, I want to be here and not going around with you. And
I'm
Ash was like, all right.
Free spirit, yeah.
Yeah.
The new
Misty and Brock were not much better either, though, because they were monotype trainers, which I've attempted while playing games, Pokemon games before, and it is not easy or fun.
It's not a recipe for success, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Misty just trains water type Pokemon, and Brock just trains rock type Pokemon.
Yeah. And so, Brock is also a pervert, as we've, like, that
and
man.
And Brock, he's definitely problematic.
Huge womanizer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Though, he did have, if anyone remembers the music from the second series, Slaps. He has a song about, like, being obsessed with fucking Nurse Joy and Officer Jenny. That's it. Yeah, it's Nurse Joy and Officer Jenny.
Yeah.
And that, like, it's like, Jenny Joy. Oh, Joy. Tune. Absolute tune. Would recommend going back and listening to that.
I forgot about that banger,
and there's,
yeah.
Sorry, there's another one, and it's, oh my God, what a whopper chorus on this. It looks like, across every river, behind every tree, on top of every mountain. Oh, God. I'm going to listen to this after we get off it, because it's, oh, it's very good. It's very,
I'm
very
sure
good.
Someone's gone through on Spotify and made all of those old.
It's, oh, it's
Pokemon
on Spotify.
Anime.
I have listened to it.
Oh, for sure.
I dread seeing my Spotify unwrapped at the end of the year, because it's going to be like WAP, the fucking Pokemon song, and something else that's just like really do not go together. But anyway, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Josh and I watched the.
Well, the best part of the anime is the soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah, Josh and I watched the first film, Pokemon the movie.
Yeah.
And had a lot to say about the soundtrack, because it's, gosh, it's so good. It's, and it's also got like big names like Christina Aguilera and.
Yes. Yeah, it's, oh, crazy. My God. I went back and listened to that after you said it as well, actually.
Blessed Union of Souls.
brother.
Yeah.
That was another one we watched during lockdown, yeah. Because they did, like, they reanimated it or whatever for Netflix, that it was like, it looks way better.
Yeah.
But like, they took out this whole, because we didn't realize this, because I was watching this and I was like, the start of this is, something is different here. So basically, if anyone hasn't watched it, and someone jump in and correct me on this, but the start of it was basically that they were like, there was a professor and he was trying to make like a clone of his dead daughter.
Yeah.
And
his dying child, yeah.
And like, it's properly dark, right? And yeah. they just cut that out of the new thing, and they just had it that like Mewtwo was in some lab and he was just like, I'm out of here, like, bye.
Yeah. They did that and for the American cut,
it's crucial
too.
To the story.
This
it's
is what
so
Josh
crucial.
And I talked about when we watched it, because like in the Japanese version, there's like a pre-credits intro where Mewtwo and this guy's clone daughter and a bunch of other clone Pokemon are like talking with their minds.
Yeah.
And then like Mewtwo's like, because Mewtwo's a clone of Mew, right, Josh?
Yeah. That's right.
Gosh, this is,
yeah, from
this
a clone so from Mew's eyelash.
And they're like talking and they're like all friends, and then like everyone dies because the clone process is imperfect. And then that's when Mew decides to like break out and kill humanity. And then in the American cut of the film, they like cut all that too. In the original one, in like the 2000 version.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just make it like, you can watch the intro. It's like 9 minutes long, which is pretty significant on YouTube. But because we did watch it, we bought it. And in the version that you can buy, they cut that whole thing. So it just makes it look like Mewtwo's.
He's just like a
total
maniac.
Psycho. Yeah. He's not stable,
he is having,
but like
he
had
really
a reason.
Bad day. Yeah, like
he had a reason though.
Oh, absolutely, and we just don't get any of that context. Like, we watched it. It was one of the days during lockdown where we did like a bottomless brunch the day before, like ourselves in our house, and we had like four bottles of Prosecco.
What does that mean, bottomless brunch?
Oh, so it's like
bottoms?
No.
Come on.
No, it's like you. It's like the drink doesn't run out. Like you pay for like a certain.
Well, Tanner, you never did a bottomless brunch back when you
Have
were in this the dilapidated
brunch?
New York City.
I guess I did. I think isn't that kind of just like a signature part of brunch? It's just like you drink
it's usually
sangrias and mimosas as you can.
Yeah, like you
fit.
Pay like a certain amount and then like. You get all your mimosas or whatever free. We decided we'd do it at home because we couldn't go out anywhere. So we did like our fancy eggs and we had like four bottles of Prosecco each. It was absolutely Larry night. And then the next day we were all just like, we watched the Pokemon movie, and we watched that, and we watched like the third one, because none of us had ever seen that. And it was, I think the birds were in it, or the legendary dogs. Oh. I actually don't really remember. It was, you know, you're just song over, you're just like, I need something to be on the screen, and I need to lie down, yeah. and let's just all enjoy each other's company. It was one of those things.
Yeah, totally.
What was I going to, do you remember, did you get sucked into all the Pokemon Go stuff when that launched?
Yeah, I did that too. Yeah.
Like, at the time I was working in a radio station, and I was the only, in inverted commas, young person or anyone who was remotely interested in it. When this came to like the UK and Ireland, I was like, this is the best day of my entire life. And I was flat walking everywhere and like whacking out the Pokeballs, and everyone in the radio station was like, oh my, oh, let's talk to you about this a phenomenon, blah, blah. So like, I was talking to fucking everyone because I was the only one in the building playing it or had any interest in it. But I remember, like, obviously died such a death. It was such a weird year for that app. Verge did a really good piece on like its first year in existence and all the shit that happened with it that I totally forgot. Like the whole thing of some guys playing it and he just found a dead body and people trying to hack it, and like,
oh man, that's
Hillary Clinton
right.
during the presidential election.
Oh, Pokemon Go to the polls.
Using like a Pokestop. Like, it was, oh, like so much stuff that I completely forgot, because I felt like it was such a big moment for me at the time in my life, and then was just like never spoken about again until like 2 weeks ago when I downloaded it again because we're on lockdown in Dublin again, and I was like, I am so bored.
Jeez, what
and
do
I,
you guys do?
Oh, it's not good over here. Well, it's just because like it's the capital city and all the house parties, and it's not great. We're not technically on full lockdown, but it's like we have to reduce like our social contacts, and like all the restaurants are closed and stuff. It's
you guys should just do what we do here
in
America.
Yeah, we just pretend it's not real.
Have a completely incompetent president who doesn't believe it's real, and
just do what feels
just
right.
Follow his lead. Yeah.
Just check the vibes. See how you go. Just you're literally like the gif of the dog in the room on fire, being like, "This is fine.
Yeah,
this is fine."
That's this administration.
I loved Pokemon Go when it first came out, and like, you know, I lived in New York City, and it was just like a very hot scene in New York City, and like the place I worked at the time was right next to a Pokespot, but you could only reach the Pokespot from one corner of the office, so like everyone piled into this one corner of the office every day to get to the Pokespot to like spin it and get their like little items and Pokeballs and stuff like that, and gosh, it was so much fun. I remember Australia got first access to it because of time zone shit. And I had friends in Australia, and they were playing it. And it was just like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
It was so wild.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep tonight.
Oh,
to wait like 12 hours for it to come out.
Like, I have a very, I don't know if I still have the screenshot, but I was living in the city at the time, and it was my like first house like out of college, and like we were like working and whatever, and I remember coming out and I was like, oh my god, this is it, what a thrill, and like the augmented reality, and I have a screenshot of like my housemate like pretending to like pet a Hypno, because I was like what, oh my, I just couldn't, I was, oh, honestly, it kept me going for days, the amusement. Like I go back and look at it sometimes, and I'm like, this is fucking gas, what a time.
Imagine how those fur affinity people felt like seeing their the subject of their art in real life standing in front of them. Wow.
I really don't want to think about how much of a good time they had, to be honest.
Yeah. I never want to think about fur affinity, I'm forced to.
We have to just do it because we have to report on everything. It's experience share. We have to share our experience. Yep.
Absolutely. Of course. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Guys, I wondered if I could maybe test you on some Pokemon knowledge.
So it's a gotcha interview. Okay.
Tanner's already like, no. Yeah, it sure is. Some of these are really easy, and then some of them are, like, I wouldn't know them, so.
I'll take easy ones. Josh, you have to do the hard ones.
Okay, so this is the Guardians Pokemon quiz, because there was another one, and it was, like, 50 questions long, and I was like, I actually can't do that to them. They will never speak to me again. But anyway. Okay, question one. The Pokemon anime series has focused on the adventures of Ash since it's made its debut in 1997. But what is Ash's surname?
Oh, Ketchum.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. It's a deliberate pun on the series. Gotta catch them all. Tagline. There you go.
Very smooth. Marketing.
Hell yeah.
Very smooth. Very smooth. Remind me to tell you something at the end of this, but I'll forget otherwise, and my friend will be really mad if I don't mention it. Anyway.
Okay.
Lovable. Oh, God, my laptop. Sorry. Lovable, inept rogues Team Rocket have been trying to catch Ash's Pikachu for decades. What are their names?
Jesse and James.
Ding, 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 ding. LGBTQ icons.
Yes. Absolutely.
Justice for Meowth.
All of them. All of them LGBTQ icons.
Yeah.
Even Meowth?
Oh, for sure.
So, okay. Well, then, okay. Sorry. I'm going to interrupt the quiz briefly. Which Pokemon do you
probably only a Furfity.
Which Pokemon do you think, like, absolutely says gay rights? The most, like, is it Mankey? Could you confidently say that it's Mankey?
Oh, I mean, yeah. Mankey's got the wrist where you're like... Is he?
Yeah. Oh, yes, Mankey. Okay, sorry. The new series of Pokemon anime, Pokemon Journeys, introduces a new companion to Ash. What is his name? Is it Joe, Troll, Doe, or Go?
Oh my God. I think
it's got to be
Go,
right? It's like a tie into the game.
You are correct. Another boy with boundless curiosity about Pokemon, Go is aiming to catch one of every Pokemon, including the mythical Mew. Is that not what Ash wanted to do and just didn't?
Like, Ash just wants to be like friends with Pikachu, and that's it.
Well, that's why he sucks.
Yeah,
he doesn't have the big picture in mind, and maybe this Go character does, but
maybe
I doubt
maybe.
It.
Maybe
they're always about friendship and like whatever, not about just brute force and winning it.
That's it. First legendary Pokemon introduced in the Kanto region are Articuno, Zapdos, and...
Oh, Moltres.
Moltres.
Yeah, baby.
Looks like a rubber chicken.
Rubber chicken indeed. This one is so specific, and I actually don't blame you if you don't get this, because I do not. And, like, there's a picture, but obviously you can't see that, so... In the anime episode, A Shivering Shovel Search, Ash gets trapped inside a giant haunted sandcastle Pokemon. What is it called? Is it Sandygast, Palossand, Wishiwashi, or Mimikyu?
I think it's Sandygast.
You are incorrect. It is
really?
Palossand. Yeah.
Okay. I know what it looks like. I don't remember its name, obviously.
Is Sandygast maybe its pre-evolution or something like that?
Sandygast sounds like a condition.
You were so confident, Josh.
I
you're
know.
Rarely
I just
wrong about
was on a page about that Pokemon... Because I was looking into all these weird ghost types, and because they have one that's an anchor that I think it's cool, and I don't remember what that name is either. But it's very hard to predict whether a name is a total giveaway or not in this series, because you also have, you know, you have like Garbodor, and it's a garbage bag. And it's like, so that's right there, a name. But then you have this one, and it's
Fanula.
Less clear.
So I when I was a kid, I went to Germany, and in German, all the Pokemon names are different, or a lot of them are.
Right.
Is it one-to-one Ireland to America Pokemon names? Are they all the same?
Yes. But that actually segues very nicely into the thing that I was going to say earlier. So the new game, we were saying previously that like all the games are based on like real life regions in the world.
Yeah.
And Sword and Shield is based on the UK, and the region is called Galar in the game. But what's funny is that Galar is actually means disease in Irish.
Oh my God.
Which is funny because we kind of hate the Brits because of the whole colonizing thing and whatever. So there you go. There's a fun fact for you. Big disease country.
Josh loves
Brits. I never said that. I studied British history. I don't.
Well, then you know what they did. We had a bad time.
He doesn't care. He likes it.
So you loved us starving. We had no potatoes. We were bawling, crying, and Josh was like,
"No way, man." I studied it because I was, as a kid, I got fascinated by the fact that like this tiny ass. Island managed to like control a third of the world,
cause so much havoc around the world,
or a quarter of the world and a third of its population. But I don't think it was good. Like, don't drag me into that. I just
oh great. Great. Okay.
I'm not saying they should have controlled
interesting.
It.
Interesting. Very
good hedging.
No
very
way.
Interesting. Colonizers do be colonizing. That's all I'll say.
My family is Irish and Welsh, and those are two, and Norwegian. But Irish and
Look
Welsh.
Look at you, Josh. I know lots of Irish people.
Okay.
Well, Tanner, come on. Trying to this gotcha section here. Wow. Make me seem like a colonizer. Jesus.
Yeah, we'll have to consider your position as a friend of the podcast. You might have to go down to enemy, but we'll see. We'll see.
yeah.
Sorry. Question 7 on this quiz of, well, there's actually loads more, but I'll only ask like 3. I can't be bothered. Which Pokemon is cheerfully described like this in the Pokedex? I think this one is kind of easy. Pines for the mother, it will never see again. Seeing a likeness of its mother in the full moon, it cries. The stains on the skull the Pokemon wears are made by the tears it sheds.
Cubone.
It is, in fact, Cubone. There you go. What a sad...
Cubone, I just caught one in the game that we're playing now, and... It died.
Oh,
so
no!
So it can go join its mother in heaven.
Oh.
And now they're both
happier that way.
Thanks to me. Yep.
Question 8. Totally pathetic, unreliable, known throughout the world for being super weak. The famous opening lyrics to the Magikarp song, but how many candy do you need to evolve a Magikarp into Gyarados in Pokemon Go? Is it 25, 50, 100, or 400?
Oh my God. I'm not going to know that.
I'm going to say
I haven't played Pokemon Go in years at this point. How
can I
go ahead? Yeah.
Can I get an answer? Can I get a guess? Can I get an 100? Educated guess? Incorrect. It is 400.
Okay. Yes.
It is 400. Tanner actually was right. Tanner did say it, but we just chose to ignore him. penultimate question. What is this Pokemon called? But obviously you can't see it, so I'm going to try and describe it to you. Okay. Yellow and brown holding spoons.
Oh, Alakazam.
It could be Alakazam.
Correct.
Or Kadabra.
I'll take your first answer. It was Alakazam.
Alakazam has multiple spoons.
He is.
It's got two.
He is having a great time with the spoons. Okay, this is another really specific one from the anime, I think. But final question. In the episode, one journey ends, another begins. Litten's Pokemon friend passed away. That is so fucking dark. What was its name? Lillipup, Herdier, Stoutland, or Entei?
Probably.
I don't even know what Litten is.
What was the first one?
I think it's a person. Lillipup, Herdier, Stoutland, or Entei?
Probably Lillipup. I don't know, but that's the youngest, the entry form of the Stoutland like line. So I presume it's that.
It was, unfortunately, Stoutland. You were incorrect.
Really?
Yeah. Nurse Joy is
unable to heal... Why is it hanging out with a Stoutland?
Nurse Joy is unable to heal the aging Pokemon in one of the few instances of a Pokemon dying in the series. Try and watch it alongside a young child that loves Pokemon and not cry. That's a fucking weird description.
Oh my God.
It is sadder than that episode when Butterfree chooses to leave Ash. Sob. I don't know who wrote this for The Guardian, but they need to get a light. Watch she get there. 1, 2...
Little editorial icing.
4, 5, 6, 6 out of 9. Not bad. Not bad.
Pretty
for
good.
That holds to Pokemon podcast.
That's decent. I mean, a lot of it is based on the anime, and we're definitely less familiar with where the anime is at. I think.
And the premise of our show is how incompetent we are at Pokemon.
Yeah,
really,
we should also say that, like, we are the show that is less, like, I don't think any other show is as least competitive as we are. Because we're talking about, like, we battle, obviously, as you know. But we're mostly talking about, like, the lore and the whole, like, the aesthetics and, like, the themes of the games and the whole universe rather than knowing all of the knowledge.
And the vibrant fan art community.
Dog dies. Josh is like, I don't care for these details. Which is completely fair. I was going to ask you about why he started Experience Share, more about Experience Share. You kind of answered it really well. But, I mean, if you want to get the rest of your plug in, work away.
Yeah, I mean, it was... I mean, on its face, it was just a great excuse to just play some Pokemon, for one thing. But it was kind of based in the fact that we wanted to be able to, like, share the nostalgia of the whole franchise, and there's no podcast really out there that was doing the same thing, where we're talking about and exploring every single game and, like, talking about what was going on at the time and where we were when we were doing it, and really, like, enmeshing ourselves with the nostalgia as well as, like, the quality of the games. We're not afraid, as Tanner mentioned, with Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, we're not afraid to say whether or not a game sucked. They're not all good.
We recently had the translator of the Pokemon game series briefly followed us on Twitter and then blocked us.
Yeah.
And we discovered later that he was mad at us because we were talking trash about Pokemon Mystery Dungeon.
Oh,
we love most of them, but, like, we hadn't played that before, and we played it, and it happens to be a bad game. And sorry. Like,
I'll also say that Josh and I are very close friends, and we were just looking for an excuse to record a podcast together, and that's something he leaves out because he's cold and heartless.
It is in the it's in the tagline. It's especially good now that Tanner left me to the wolves, and he doesn't live in Brooklyn anymore. So now we have a reason to hang out every week.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, so
makes
nice.
It easy.
Just like me and Breed. Just like
do you guys not live in the same city?
Oh, no, sorry. I just meant the, like, the general podcast thing. We actually do live in the same city. I just took liberties there. It's like, yeah, just like us. You were like, no, absolutely not.
I guess none of us really can see one another right now anyway, so.
Right.
I know.
There's never been a better time to have a podcast, for sure.
Truly, truly. Well, honestly, guys, you got me through lockdown, and you will continue to see me through, and I go on my walk every day, and I'm like, I need to listen to Experience Share. Like, people, I don't know if you get this, but like people ask me, oh, like, what podcasts are you listening to? Oh, you must be listening to loads of podcasts. And I'm like, I listen to two podcasts, and one of them is a Pokemon podcast. And they're like, oh, okay. And they're just like, right. And I'm like, what do you want me to fucking say? This American life? No, we are going through such dark times. Leave me be. But
I've been interviewing a lot of people for my job lately. I'm trying to, like, make some hires, and I'm doing it in this room that I'm in right now, which, like, looks like a podcasting studio.
Yeah.
And they're always just like, oh, is that a music studio? And I'm just like, oh, no, I have a couple podcasts. And they're like, oh, what about? And it's just like, Pokemon.
Well, I mean, it kind of is a music
you're
studio
breaking
as well.
Up. I don't know. What'd you say?
It kind of is a music studio as well, given how much the two of you sing on Experience Share, which is
we have to. It's part of the new season, so we're playing a special game, a special set of rules called Nuzlocke, which means that in the normal games, for bandwagon listeners who are uninitiated, when your Pokemon gets killed in battle, they just pass out, and you can go to a hospital and heal them. But we're playing a special version of the game where, when our Pokemon die, they die. And we have to release them, and we don't get to play with them anymore. And we eulogize them with song when that happens.
Yeah.
So it's been a lot of singing this season.
Which is probably...
And it's beautiful.
I mean, and it's been great, because we can't do karaoke anymore. So it's one excuse to be able to just yell.
And I would say that neither Josh or I are particularly gifted singers either.
No.
I hope that's fair to say, Josh.
No.
I don't wanna...
I just finished editing the episode that's coming out this next week, and I did my version of Brown Eyed Girl that is called Red Eyed Bee. And it's about bee drill. And I was like, this is pretty rough, but I'm not going to re-record it because I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
Just so committed to your craft. Just like us.
Oh, yeah.
Just like us.
Yeah.
Where can people find you if they want to listen or get in on that good social media action?
Everywhere you listen to podcasts. I think we're on every platform at this point. It's just Experience Share, but it is EXP Share. Because
it's the name of a thing in Pokemon
that's in all the games. So that was the little insider joke there. And then we're at EXP SharePod on Twitter and Instagram. We got a Reddit too. That's reddit.com/
hard to explain that one. Bugcatchers.
Yeah, that's our fence.
Amazing. I need to start the Nuzlocke along with you for Fire Red Leaf Green, because if you remember on the last episode we did together, I said that I had an idea for what I was going to name all of my like a theme, and I'm going to name each one after one of the things that Miley Cyrus hates about Nick Jonas in the song Seven Things, because why not? I was like, I need like a team. And I was like, my starter is just going to be like, you're vain, your games, you're insecure.
That's great.
And I love them all. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
I've been naming all my things, all my Pokemon after things that, after people and characters that Josh loves, so that we both have to.
It's really rough. He killed my oldest friend in the second episode. And my uncle as well.
And your uncle.
My uncle just died, yeah. In the game. He's...
It was rough. It was. In the game. Yeah. For clarity. In the game. In the game. Guys, thank you so much for joining me. I hugely appreciate it. And I'm sure we will be in touch in the future to talk about other bandwagons.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you ever have an OC episode, you have to invite Josh on.
Oh, we've already said this, because Josh will kick off if I don't invite him, probably.
Yeah, you're going to have to, or we then will be enemies of the pod.
Yeah.
I did a season 2 of Experience Share. I named all my Pokemon after OC characters, because that's one of my favorite shows. It should be everyone's favorite, one of their favorite shows.
If you ever want to talk about the Warhammer tabletop game, I'm here for you. Mini figurines.
Is Warhammer a thing in Ireland too? Did that make it out of here?
Yeah, there is.
It's British.
It was British.
Don't bring the Brits into this again, please, or I will kick off. But there is.
Tanner, you've got quite an agenda.
There's a big Warhammer shop in Cork, where I'm from, on the Keys. So there you go.
Games Workshop?
I've never been in. I never really understood it.
Oh,
you've got
to go.
But people were having fun in there, and I said, you know what? Go for them. Go for them.
Pick up some figurines for Tanner and ship them over.
Yeah.
You know, I might. Yeah. Can I get a sticker and I'll do that?
Oh, yeah.
We'll send you, well, first of all, we'll send you a sticker from every season, but we also have special bug catcher pins now for guests of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
You'll be the first one.
Yes. So smug.
Yeah.
Yes. Ask and you shall receive. Anyway, I won't keep you guys any longer. Thank you so much. Please check out the EXP Share guys everywhere on social media. Leave them a nice review. Listen to them everywhere. This has been Bandwagons. Thank you so much for listening to us. We'll be back next week. Leave us a review only if it's nice. Follow us on Spotify. We are also on social media everywhere. Bandwagons Podcast, etc., etc. Goodbye, I suppose.
Thanks for having us.
Smell you later.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods
for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.